And my point,
point
is
of order,
this,
point of order. If the member has a problem with the,
excuse
the member,
me.
Point of order,
please.
If the member has a problem with the ruling of the chair, one can appeal the ruling of the chair, and we can vote to decide to uphold the ruling of the chair or not. And then we can move in an orderly fashion. But I find these complete interruptions insulting, and I would move to censure once again if this doesn't stop.
I would like to speak to the motion on the floor without snippy comments from the chair.
Excuse me, Jim, point of order to censure. These comments,
that is
snippy,
another,
attack.
That is another out of order comment, and I'm going to censure that. If you wish to appeal the ruling of the chair, yes or no, Serene?
I believe you recognize me, Ms. Burton, and I would like to speak. I would like to speak without anyone else interrupting me.
I
to the motion on the floor.
I believe the question now is whether you want to appeal the ruling of the chair.
You recognize me. I have no appeal to that. I'd like to speak.
All right.
Except that you keep allowing other people to cut me off.
Let's move right along then. Terry,
and
what
the point I would like to make...
Excuse me. You don't have permission to speak.
You've forgotten that you recognize me?
You're out of order.
Uh-huh.
You're out of order. If you're determined to destroy this meeting, it's quite obvious that that is your intention.
Carolyn, I would simply like to speak. I think I'm entitled to speak the same way everyone else is.
To remain
this is Terry.
In order, ruled out of order.
To explain that it is, since the member was ruled out of order, she does not have the floor. She may appeal the ruling of the chair that she was out of order.
Why am I out of order? Because she recognized me. I just think the little statement that she used in recognizing me was unnecessary and rude. Why, chairs are allowed to be rude, but ordinary members are not?
Serene, you're out of order, and I'm going to move to censure you again.
I'm sure you will, Carolyn.
This is not appropriate. This is not appropriate.
That's true. What you're doing is not appropriate.
Terry, would you continue? Did you intend to...
I believe you need a vote on censure.
I would like someone else to bring that, I think. I don't.
I made a motion to censure.
The motion was on the floor before the chair acknowledged it.
All right. In the absence of Mary, I'll call the roll again. Terry?
Yes.
Patty?
Yes.
Melinda? Okay, Richard?
Yes.
Rob?
No.
Andy?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
It's getting tedious, I must say. Serene?
This is a farce.
I take that as a no. Melinda? No answer. All right. That motion passes, I'm afraid.
And I would like that to be reflected in the minutes with the name.
Six yeses. Yes, mine was a yes also, for the record. Now, Terry, the next...
I think we should vote on tabling the first part of the motion and then vote on tabling the second part of the motion.
Well, I think...
since the motion was divided.
We did not... That's right, we did not vote to table either half yet. Did you move to table the second half or to vote on the second half?
I amended the motion to table... To table just the first half.
Table the first half.
And then I would expect a member to move to table the second half after we decide on whether or not to table the first half.
I see. All right. And have we spoken to that? No. anyone else like to speak on this tag?
Wendy, I don't have an issue with voting to table any part of it. All I wanted to say was whatever we come up with in this meeting is merely a recommendation to the PNB.
That's right.
It, you know, so there will be time to consult with people that have an opinion on this.
Well, there's already been a good deal of consultation, but I take your point.
And we vote?
And we vote on tabling the first half. Terry?
Yes.
Patty?
I'm passing.
Melinda?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, Richard?
No, I was voting against that.
Against tabling?
Yeah.
All right, Richard?
No.
Serene?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Please? Did you say Wendy?
Wendy.
No.
No. And LaVorne?
No.
Marilyn, no. It's 4-2-3. No.
Did Patty vote?
I didn't vote yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm coming back to you, Patty.
I'll abstain.
You abstain. Okay. 4-3 with one abstention, no to table. So that half is still on the floor. I'll entertain a motion to table the second half.
So moved.
All right.
Can you read what it is again, please?
Yes. Further, that in each station, the general manager shall identify by name the manager or paid employee who shall be responsible for the record keeping and ultimate delivery of records, attesting to the conformity to the requirements of the bylaws for unpaid staff members, whether or not they are members of an unpaid staff organization, and records to be validated by the local and national election supervisor as required. Attempt to make somebody responsible for the record keeping.
I'd like to speak to that.
Who is that, please?
Serene.
Serene. Anyone else on the stack? Put myself on the stack. Serene, go ahead.
The language in this, where it says whether or not they're members of an unpaid staff organization, suggests that the rules are the same, and it also puts the weight of an individual staff person, probably a bargaining unit person, to conform to the bylaws. I think that is a management responsibility in terms of people who are not members of an unpaid staff organization, and the bylaws have been very clear, and I don't understand why this is actually an attempt to amend a bylaw without going through the process for amending a bylaw, because you are in fact saying that you want a staff person to decide who qualifies to be in the unpaid staff unit. The language of the bylaws very clearly says that that determination is made by the unpaid staff organization.
Point of order.
So we keep dancing around the same
process.
Speaking
to the merits of the motion rather than on the motion to table.
I think we should table it because I think we're asking someone to violate the bylaws.
That was on point.
Well, my point about this is that there needs to be someone in charge, which it is clear most stations do not have someone responsible for the record keeping, so that the supervisors will not have the onus of doing what they cannot legally do, which is to pry records loose from unpaid staff organizations or volunteer.
Point of order, the chair is speaking to the merits of the main motion.
Ah, you're right. Thank you. All right. So anyone else want to speak to this? And the motion to table, the second half. Continue, Terry.
We're ready to vote?
Yes, we're ready to vote.
No.
Ready?
No.
Melinda.
And what are we voting on, please?
The second half of the motion.
Tabling.
Tabling the second half of the motion.
Okay.
On a pass. Richard?
No.
Serene?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Wendy?
No.
LaVorne?
No.
Carolyn? No. And Melinda?
No.
No. 7-2-2. Motion not to table. All right. So that half is not tabled. So now we need to vote on the motions.
Mm-hmm.
The halves, rather, since they are quite separate. Now, we have not been watching the time. It's getting on towards 9:30, and unfortunately we didn't set a time for this. Shall we move to... all right, let's finish this voting, and then we'll put a time limit on the rest of the agenda.
Point of order.
All right, point of order, yes.
Unfortunately, now that the first part of the motion is on the table, discussion of that motion is in order.
All right. All right. Is there a stack, Terry?
I'm not on the stack.
All right. Anyone else?
Read the motion as amended.
No amendment.
There was no amendment. It just as agreed.
Terry, did you not strike the second paragraph? Did you not move to strike the second paragraph?
I was out of order when I did so.
I moved to strike the second paragraph.
Well, we haven't had a discussion yet. The second paragraph of the...
of the motion.
Of the first half.
Well, there are only three paragraphs.
Let me read the motion as we have it. As you requested. Resolved that the PNB require that the unpaid staff organizations of KPFA and WBAR revise their criteria for membership in the station voting rolls, MEMSIS database in parentheses, to conform to the requirements of the bylaws for unpaid staff members as follows. And then the quote from the bylaws. Any volunteer or unpaid staff member of a foundation radio station who has worked for said radio station at least 30 hours in the preceding 3 months exclusive of fundraising marathon telephone room volunteer time. Said volunteer work shall be performed under the supervision of the foundation radio station management and shall not include volunteer work on committees of a local station board.
I believe the member is moving to strike everything that it's including as follows that comes after as follows.
Correct. Any discussion on that?
Terry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by quoting the definition of staff that's currently in the bylaws, if that definition is corrected in the bylaws, then our recommendation doesn't follow the correction. By not quoting from the bylaws, we follow any change of the bylaws in this recommendation. So I'm in favor of the amendment.
Huh.
This is Rob. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
What is it about the bylaws that we think is incorrect? What's the confusion?
May I speak to that? Since I wrote that report based on the problem. The problem is that the supervisors have a real conflict. They are not able to validate the lists of unpaid staff as the bylaws are written because it does not give them permission to do that. It simply requires them to accept on faith the list handed over to them by the unpaid staff committees. There's no process by which they can validate that people on that list actually did the work that they were supposed to do.
Can't such a process be affected?
It hasn't been because the unpaid staff organizing committees did not keep good records, and neither did
no.
the station.
No, why can't such a process to resolve this issue in compliance with the bylaws be affected? Why do we have to change?
Well, this is what we're attempting to do. Without changing the bylaws, we're attempting to affect a process. That's what this would affect.
Then why can't we simply instruct the local elections committees and the local election supervisors to develop regulations that comply with the bylaws?
Because the bylaws forbid it, as they stand now.
Point of information.
They forbid it?
Serene. Yes?
I'm sorry, Rob, were you finished?
Well, this doesn't make sense to me.
Well, if you read the section of the bylaws that I put into the report and that's in the bylaws itself and in the supervisors' reports, the local election supervisors are simply mandated to accept, not to correct or question.
But there's no way for the local elections committees to instruct that records be kept in such a way that they comply with the bylaws, as well as the operation of these committees.
But that's possible. I didn't write the motion that way, but you could certainly put a motion into that effect. But
I think that would be very cumbersome, having five motions from five stations to be argued in five LSBs, and I can predict that two of them would not do that.
On the stack, Terry.
Terry, go ahead. Serena,
I'm sorry, I asked to be on the stack.
That's right, you were next, Serena. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Terry, I'll wait.
Okay, I just want to point out the problem is that unpaid staff organized bargaining units are not under the control of Pacifica Foundation. So they don't have to abide by our rules, and they do not have to open their roles to our election supervisor. And that's the conflict. It's not that the bylaws forbid. It's just that there is no authority for Pacifica to look at the roles of an independent organization.
But it's not clear that that problem can be overcome.
Well, that's another issue. Serene, do you want to go ahead? And
yeah, I would argue that it's not another issue, that it's precisely the same issue that I've been raising since I got on this call. You've made no attempt to have any discussion with any of the unions, any of the unpaid staff organizations, and there are two. You've had no discussion with them about how we function, what we might do differently. It's called conversation. It's an exchange. You know, to suggest that the unpaid staff are not, quote, under the control of Pacifica, we're part of Pacifica. My God, we do the work. What is the fair in engaging people in discussion instead of ramming through a set of rules that I think contradict the bylaws, actually ask that the board rule our contracts, nullify portions of our contract without any discussion? This is ridiculous. This is un-Pacifican.
Anyone else on the stack before we go to a vote? Are we ready to go to a vote then?
We're not ready to go to a vote. I move that we engage, and I'd be willing to do that. Anyone who wishes to join me is welcome to do that. Engage in conversation, discussion of the issues with the unpaid staff organization.
Serena, I'd like to point out that two meetings ago, you proposed that we do that. I put out a call. You did not respond to that, and so I proceeded as best I could.
Carolyn, there's a motion on the floor.
I'm still talking. You made an accusation. That stage has more or less passed, and we're dealing with another issue now. And the issue is the motion on the floor, yes. Can we move
the motion on the floor is mine. I just made a motion.
Well,
that since your report clearly avoids, you know, any discussion, and you went to great lengths, apparently, and that's why you won't even tell us who you spoke with, you went to great lengths to avoid conversation with the unions affected. And I think that any motion that you send to the PNB, where clearly you've not done any homework in an unbiased fashion, is a waste of this body's time, and we're going to pay for the phone call on which they're going to discuss it.
Well, point of order, you're certainly free to do a minority report, and this is not an issue that requires consultation. This is an issue that is not a question that requires consultation with the unions. It's an issue that requires reconciliation of a problem that the supervisors have with the bylaws.
We should do what makes sense, Carolyn. Carolyn, we should do what makes sense.
Are we ready to move to a vote on this? Are there any objections to moving to a vote?
I object.
No?
Yeah, I think that was an objection. Point of order.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to the extent that the member's motion is just another motion to table, it would be out of order. I'm not sure that it could be characterized as that, however. So I think that we should vote on the member's motion to consult staff and then vote on the motion unless that first motion passes.
I'm sorry, would you repeat the motion as you think?
I don't have a clear opinion that the member's motion to consult staff prior to voting on this motion was out of order. So I think we should vote on the member's motion to consult staff.
All right. Would you like to phrase that, Serene?
It's the other member's motion.
Yeah, no, I was addressing Serene. I'm sorry. Serene, would you like to phrase your motion for us to vote on then?
That this committee empower myself and any other person who wishes to join me to engage in discussion with the unpaid staff organizations at KPFA and WBAI
about some of the problems that came up in the last election or in the election prior to that.
Point of information?
Yes.
The motion as stated does not delay the motion.
And that the current motion be shelved.
Which I think was the member's intent.
Thank you. The current motion be shelved. The motion that was in this report that we got a few minutes before the meeting.
I think that is the member's intent, yes.
To what date, please?
I think probably 3 weeks should be adequate for us to get in touch with the folks at both stations.
All right. Can we vote on that motion? As stated by Serene.
No objection.
Joseph Terry.
No, wait a minute. Point of order. Didn't we already make a motion to table this, and it was defeated?
This is a motion to discuss, to table it to discuss, to engage the unpaid staff organizing.
The reasons are irrelevant. A motion to table is a motion to table.
The chair may rule that the current motion is out of order if the chair interprets it as another motion to table.
Well, it is and it isn't. I think we should vote on this because the member has a strong feeling about
it. If there's no appeal on the chair's ruling, we should proceed to a vote.
All right. Proceeding to a vote then, Terry?
No.
Patty?
No.
Melinda? Richard?
No.
Richard?
No.
Okay, Serene?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Wendy?
No.
Lavarn?
No.
Self, no. All right, that motion fails then. All right, so we are back to voting on the...
It's a motion to amend.
The motion to amend by eliminating the section, the reference from the bylaws. And then the... amended motion will say simply resolve that the PMB require that the unpaid staff organizations of KPFA and WBAI revise the criteria for membership in station voting rolls Memphis database to conform to the requirements of the bylaws for unpaid staff members, period.
I'd like to get on the stack.
All right. Is there another stack? Anyone else on this stack? All right, Serene, go ahead.
The unpaid staff union at WBAI has a contract. The unpaid staff at KPFA, I believe, has a contract. I think it was Mary who said before she left that they won't be revising their bylaws until June. So are we, in fact, asking the board to abrogate the contracts that the management has signed with the people who do the work that make Pacifica?
Well, point of information, I did ask about a contract, and the interim GM has none. If there is one, she doesn't have it.
The interim GM
is
in New York?
Mm-hmm. So I think the point is whether or not there's a contract, I think that is another separate point.
It's not at all questionable. You, in fact, were given a copy of that contract at meetings here at BAI. At committee meetings, so why you would now pretend that you don't know whether that one exists is strange.
Well, it was in negotiations at the time. That was
That's
the old contract
so.
That I had, and then I understood that the new one was in negotiations.
That is not so. I believe AFTRA may be in the process of renegotiating. But
you're
you don't know, and I do.
Excuse me, you're saying
you're really
I don't
resistant
know what
to information.
You're out of order, Serene. Let's proceed to a vote on this first half. Terry?
Yes, to amend?
Yes, to amend. Mm-hmm. Patty? Melinda?
I'm sorry, what are we voting on right now?
We're removing the second paragraph of the first half.
We're voting on
striking
the lines that I just read.
Mm-hmm. We're voting on what?
The first
Terry,
four lines of the motion without the reference to the bylaws. The resolve
Terry, we're
that
voting.
Ending with members.
Okay. We are voting to eliminate the second paragraph, is that correct?
That is correct. We're voting to on the first half without the second, yeah.
No, she was correct. We're voting to eliminate the second half of the first half.
Okay. The amendment would require, would be only the first four lines, yes.
We're voting to amend.
So, beginning again, Terry?
Yes, to amend.
Yes,
to end
amend.
At the words unpaid staff members.
Right. Patty?
Yes.
Melinda?
I got completely lost on this.
All right, we'll come back to you, Richard.
Yes.
Sorry.
Fran? Serene? Rob?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wendy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And LaVon?
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay.
I vote no. We're actually making unilateral changes to a contract.
Serene, no.
I'd like
Melinda?
To change my vote. Excuse me?
I'm sorry?
I'd like to change my vote to yes.
You'd like to change your vote to yes?
I'm going to vote yes.
That was out of order.
Yes.
Melinda? Yes.
Yeah, I'll be right there.
All right, that's 6. 2-1. 1-2. No, I have only one no, Serene. Is that correct? Okay. So that stands. Now we're down to the second half.
Actually, we're ready to vote on the first part of the divided motion as amended.
Sorry. Oh, I'll answer that before we get to the second half. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Since there is no change, is that a separate roll call?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. All right, let's go again. I'll read it again. Resolved that the PNB require that the unpaid staff organizations of KPFA and WBAI revise the criteria for membership in the station voting rolls, MEMSIS database, to conform to the requirements of the bylaws for unpaid staff members. Terry?
No.
Patty?
Yes.
Melinda?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Fran? Rob?
No.
Wendy?
I'll abstain.
LaVon?
Yes.
Yes. All right, and Carolyn, yes. Okay, Serene, come back to you. Do you have a vote? Okay, Serene is not there. All right, so that passes 2, 3, 4.
I dropped off.
5, yes.
This is Serene. I dropped off. What are we voting on?
We're voting on the amendment, the first half as amended.
No.
Okay. 5-2-3 with one abstention. It passes.
No, I thought it failed.
Pardon?
It passed? Could you read the vote again?
Yes. Carolyn, yes. Terry, no. Patty, yes. Melinda, yes. Richard, yes. Serene, no. Rob, no. Wendy, abstain. And LaVon, yes.
Okay. No, I beg your pardon.
No problem. It's getting confusing. Now, the second half. That at each station the general manager shall identify by name the manager or paid employee who shall be responsible for the record keeping and ultimate delivery of records, attesting to the conformity to the requirements of the bylaws for unpaid staff members, whether or not they are members of an unpaid staff organization, said records to be validated by the local and national election supervisor as required. Any discussion on that? None? Well,
this is Serene. I'd like to get on the stack.
Yes, there's no stack. Go ahead, Serene.
The language in this motion requires that an employee make a determination about who's eligible to vote and who's not. And again, it invalidates the bylaw-given right of the unpaid staff organization to determine their membership. The language in the in the bylaws very clearly states that any member of the foundation of a foundation radio station's unpaid staff organization or unpaid staff collective bargaining unit, which has been recognized by station management, is a member and is eligible to vote, period. If the station does not have such an organization, then those other issues arise. But you're asking an employee to violate the bylaws. I think this is an attempt to make a bylaw amendment, make a change to the bylaws without going through the bylaws, without going through the bylaws amendment process.
Anyone else want to speak to that issue? I think what it does is make someone responsible for the record keeping and the delivery of the records. Now, if the unpaid staff members or the unpaid staff organization delivers the records to that person, then that person would have charge of those records.
I'd be on the stacks, Richard.
But at some point, there has to be some records delivered to the supervisor. And if you're saying that the supervisor does not need records, then we have...
That is absolutely not what I've said, and I'd like to get on the stack. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Richard?
Well, I don't understand Serene's objection, because if you read this carefully, it says, records attesting to the conformity of the requirements of the bylaws. That would include the bylaws about the unpaid staff organizations making that determination. So what you said is right. All you're asking for is that somebody be responsible for getting this information from whoever's got it and giving it, making it available to the National Election Supervisor so they can see if you know, they've got a list that can be used. If that section where it says, you know, attesting to the conformity of the requirements of the bylaws doesn't change the bylaws at all. It just says somebody's going to hand that over. So I don't see the objection at all.
Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
I don't think you're going to need my vote in favor of this section, and I have to go to work. So I'm now dropping off the call. This is Terry Goodman.
Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Any other comments on this motion? All right, can we proceed to a vote then? That's all right. Terry is gone. Patty, are you still with us? Melinda?
Marilyn? Can you hear me now? Can you hear
Patty?
Me?
Yes, good.
Uh-huh. Oh,
I'm here,
yes.
But I'm going to have to go.
Melinda?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, Patty, I asked for your vote.
I said yes.
Yes, I'm sorry. Melinda?
I'll abstain, but I'll wait until I come back later.
You pass or abstain?
Yes, I'm passing.
Passing. Okay,
sorry.
Richard?
Yes.
Serene?
No.
Rob?
No.
Wendy?
Yes.
Lamar?
Yes.
Okay, and I'm voting yes.
I'm voting yes as well.
Melinda, all right. Yes, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yes.
I'm sorry, give those, you don't have 6 yeses, I don't think. Let's hear that again.
I'm sorry, that's 6 yes and 2 no.
No, let's hear the names again. I don't believe we have 6.
Okay. Carolyn, Patty.
Can the member ask in a more cordial manner? I'm really offended by these, like, just rude, you know, comments constantly, just kind of upsetting and making everything in a very nervous, unnatural fashion. Can the member
please
just ask nicely next time?
Could we skip the drama and just get
Patty,
the
your point is well taken. It's a disruptive tactic, and let's get on with it as quickly as we can. LeVon, Wendy.
I'm sorry,
Melinda, Patty, and myself voted yes, and the 2 no votes were Serene and Rob.
I'm sorry, I still didn't get the 6 names. There was somebody interjecting something.
In the future, either Carolyn, listen to the audio. Or
I'm afraid I'm going to have to take off.
I'm sorry?
I'm afraid I'm going to have to take off.
All right, let me, did we settle, I think we're losing quorum here, did we settle on the date for the next, for the continuation of this meeting rather than adjourn it?
The 31st.
Everyone, and it's posted for the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Hey, have a good evening.
Thank you.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're not leaving.
Could I hear the name?
Excuse me, Richard, you had a question?
Point of order. Order,
Madam Chair, I asked a question. There have been several interruptions. May I simply hear the name?
Yes, as soon as I take a point of order.
Well, I was just going to say, the only difference is going to be is either five or six. So it's just wasting time because the motion is going to pass.
I'd like to know the names. Is there an objection to my knowing how people vote?
There's no objection.
No.
Okay, then may I hear the names,
in the future, so I don't have to repeat
the
name.
There has been crosstalk. I believe your count is incorrect. I asked for clarification. If we could just do that, it wouldn't have taken 4 minutes if you had just done it. Just read the names, please.
Are you finished? I'll read the names if you're silent. Myself, Patty Heffley, Melinda, Richard, Wendy, and LaVarne voted yes. No were Serene and Rob.
Thanks. That really didn't have to take us 5 minutes.
You're out of order, Serene, again, and I'm going to ask you please not to interrupt and be so terribly contentious. There's no need for it. We're supposed to be all working for the same goal here, and we don't need to take that tone with each other. It's not necessary at all.
May I ask that you use the mirror?
I'm going to ask, rule you out of order again.
I'm sure you will, Carolyn.
I move to censor Serene again.
I second.
He's continually talking and talking back to you as if there is no order.
Talking back? I'm not her child. Are you confused? You're really confused. Oh. First you want to tell me what my place is, and now you want to tell me when I'm talking back?
Order, please.
What is wrong with you?
Can we vote, please? Can we vote on the censor, please?
Yes, we certainly can. I will certainly vote yes. Terry is gone. Patty?
Yes.
Melinda? She's gone. Richard?
Yes.
Serene? No.
This is a farce.
Rob?
No.
Wendy?
I'm bored with this. I'm going to abstain.
LaVarne?
Yes.
The count is 4 yeses, 2 noes, and 1 abstention.
And, may I, Madam Chair, I would like to speak. This is LaVarne.
Please.
I agree with Wendy. This is getting very boring in terms of this disrupting the meeting. So, I'm going to really have to go because I got to drive back to the Bay Area. But I will get on my cell phone. It will be about 10 minutes. So if you guys are still there, I'll catch you then.
I appreciate it.
If there's anything really, really important, you guys call me on my cell phone.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Okay. Now, the next item of business was we had tabled to the end of the agenda if there was time, and I guess that's going to mean the 31st at this point. So we're down to the new business, which is Motion B, the RFP for database audits.
I have a point of information.
Yes.
Do we still have quorum?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yes.
Point of order.
Please.
If you lose a quorum, you can still continue to meet if you had one at the beginning under Robert's rules, as long as any motions you pass still are a majority of the quorum you had initially.
I didn't question the legality of the vote. I merely asked a question.
Okay. Well, I just
pointed out
that if you don't have a quorum, we can continue to meet. And
no need to be defensive. I merely asked a question.
Yeah, I think it was...
It was the time
of the question, Serene, which I think Richard rightly interpreted as...
Do we still have quorum? That was my question,
yes,
in that tone.
Was. Yes, it was.
And if that makes you nervous, I'm sorry.
Would you like me to read this motion? Or would someone else care to read it? My voice is giving out. Am I going to read this? All right, this is the RFP for database audits. Whereas on June 22, 2004, the PNB approved a resolution mandating, quote, that the National Election Supervisor shall designate a secure independent audit procedure to verify member database accuracy and compliance with the bylaws, end quote, which was never fully complied with, therefore be it resolved that the PNB shall request that by October 1st, 2005, the Executive Director put out an RFP, Request for proposal for audits of the membership databases at each station, and that the executive director shall consult summary guidelines and recommendations of the elections committee, which shall be provided by November 1st, 2005, and that a secure independent audit of station databases shall be conducted before January 15th, 2006. And that is the entire motion. Is there any discussion?
Point of information.
Go ahead.
Was this a in-person meeting or a phone meeting?
I'm sorry?
The meeting at which you claim this resolution was passed. Was this a phone meeting or an in-person meeting?
Well, you see, that's exactly the kind of tone that is so discouraging when you're trying to run a meeting.
Carolyn, could we just answer the question? I find your tone objectionable also, mm-hmm. but, you know, we can move on.
It was a telephone meeting of July 22nd through...
Thank you.
June 22nd, I believe, through July 2nd. It was a double meeting.
Do you happen to know which portion of which day this was passed? I'm trying to find notes on it.
No, I do not. Legally, it was one meeting.
Oops. Can I ask a question about this
Please.
Motion,
mm-hmm.
Carolyn, or is that a bad thing?
Go right ahead, Rob. That's what we're here for.
Huh.
Okay. So the notion is that we're going to commission an audit of our databases?
Yes. It was actually supposed to have been commissioned last year. The PNB commissioned it, and if you, again, go through the reports from the local and national supervisors, you'll see that they were not able to do that, that the audit procedures, the national supervisor collected reports on the audit from each station.
Carolyn, we've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on these elections, okay? And maybe we did pass, maybe somebody passed a resolution that we commission an audit of the database. Do we have any sense of what it's going to cost and if it's really effective for us to spend this additional money on this process?
Well, the money...
The money what?
The money was assumed necessary when this
the
was passed last June.
The money comes from
June.
The listener pledges, Carolyn. We all know that.
Oh, yeah, we know
what
that.
I'm saying, what
and
I'm saying is...
It was assumed that it was accurate and justified then.
No, Carolyn, what I'm saying is we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to elect people, and we barely get quorum. Do we know how much it's going to cost and that this is a good way to spend money? That's my question. And if that's out of order, you can tell me I'm out of order. But I'm asking a very simple question.
No, it's certainly not out of order, and I think that's what an RFP is. A request for proposals includes an estimate of the cost, and at that point, if the PNB approved a call for proposals, it would then take proposals, look at the cost, and evaluate them. That's the only purpose of this.
Is there a scope of work then?
Is to put it before the board. I'm not sure what you mean by a scope of work.
Well, if you're going to do a request for proposals, you have a scope of work which you send out to people, and that gives you a sense of what it's going to cost. In other words, what I'm saying is we spend lots and lots of money on this process, and before determining that it's necessary to spend additional money to do this audit, do we know what this audit is going to cost? Do we have a sense of the impact financially?
No, my point is that we do not at this point. That's what an RFP would determine, what it cost, and the portion that says that the summary guidelines and recommendations of the Elections Committee, that would be us, in the meanwhile, between now and November 1st, we should come up with guidelines for the extent and the depth of an audit. And
if you don't have a scope of work, how are people going to tell you what it's going to cost?
Well, if you look at the timelines here, Rob...
No,
October, excuse me, you asked me a question. I'm trying to answer it. The PNB shall request by October 1st that an RFP be put out, and by November 1st, the guidelines would come into effect or come to the hands of the PNB from us, from our research. They would put that together and either provide or not provide for an audit by the 15th. The scope of the audit would perhaps be determined by money and also by the need that we found as we examined the reports more closely.
Yeah, I'm not making myself clear, and I apologize. I'm really not trying to be combative. but you can't do a request for proposals if you don't have a scope of work. You really can't. It's like saying, I want you to fix my roads, and then the contractors are going to say, but how much road, and how do you want us to fix them? If you don't have something that defines and specifies what you're asking, it's not meaningful. Do you see what I'm saying?
I'm really not
trying to be difficult.
I'm just simply
trying to say, mm-hmm. Okay, we want somebody to check our databases. Do we know what that means?
Well, I think we do, because if you go back to the reports, there were problems with each of the station databases and with the national database. And I think the scope of that, I mean, they did check for duplicates. They were able to do that. But there were many other things that they were not able to check for, and those are the things that we should be writing out. Now, you're saying we should do all that before we put out an RFP?
I don't think that you can put out a request for proposals that people will respond to unless you specify the scope of work.
Well, my
you're not going to get back meaningful numbers unless you do that. And my concern is if we can't explain to people what it is we want them to do, how are they going to tell us what it's going to cost? And if we don't know what it's going to cost, how do we know if we can afford to do it?
Well, my experience is that you develop that in the RFP in consultation with the requesting agency or organization or people. But part of that is determined by what the bylaws require. Part of that is determined by what MEMSIS collects or does not collect. And part of it would be determined by what we feel was lacking in the last election. So I think between now and October 1st, and between October 1st and November 1st, in consultation with people making requests, those guidelines would be spelled out in much more detail.
Okay.
I don't think this kind of a motion is the place to put that in, though.
I'd like to get on the staff.
Jane?
I'm sorry, Rob, are you done?
I clearly was not communicating what I was concerned
no,
about.
No, you are. I'm just not agreeing with you. Yeah. Serene?
Yeah.
So you don't think that scope of work figures into request for proposal?
I do to some extent, but I think we're probably not agreeing on the detail, and I do think a lot of the scope of work, I didn't think it appropriate to put it in a motion. Evidently you think it is, but I think the scope would be determined partly by what's in the bylaws and partly by what's in the supervisor's reports that they found lacking.
If you can't explain to people what the scope of work is, how can you put it in a request for proposal? And we don't have that yet.
That is true. This is a request.
So that's what I'm saying.
It's like that.
Okay, never mind. I'm clearly not communicating.
In addition to the rather huge flaw that Rob just pointed out, this motion, which again, you know, I say was presented to us as part of a 6-page report minutes before this committee met, pulls from a motion that passed in 2004 talking about work that the National Election Supervisor was supposed to engage in prior to the last election. So at this point, we don't have a National Election Supervisor, and I think the intent of this motion, since, you know, this latest offering claims to be based on what we intended to do last year. We don't have a National Election Supervisor. The point is to do this as close to an election as possible. So I'm not quite sure why we're spending. I mean, if I say to a guy, you know, I'd like you to fix my bathroom, but I don't tell him what to fix, he can tell me, well, that'll cost $50, or it could cost, you know, $9,000. But I think the language here really needs to be reworked, and I think the intent, as I said, is also misconstrued. The intent of the original motion was to have an audit done close to as we approached an election period, months before an election period. So if we're talking about possibly doing this next year as we approach an election, and in the meantime using the tips that we have from the reports to make sure that the databases in all the stations are in good condition, which will, you know, have an effect on much more than simply the election. I know everyone sort of seems to think that that's the only thing that stations use their databases for. It is not. And I think this whole thing needs to be properly thought through, and it hasn't been, and I would ask that we table it.
Any other comments on this?
I'd like to call the question.
Well, Serene, was that a move to table or just
yes.
A wish? Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that takes precedence over calling the question. All right, without Mary, let me find my tally sheet. All right, are we ready to vote then to table? Patty? Melinda? Richard?
No.
Serene?
Yes.
Rob?
No.
Wendy?
No.
Lauren? She's not back yet. Terry's gone. Patty? Melinda?
Didn't she say goodnight?
Can you hear me? No, I didn't say goodnight, by the way. Can you hear me now?
Melinda, now I can. Yes, you're welcome.
No.
I'm speaking about Melinda. Didn't she say goodnight?
I just thought I heard she did. Uh-huh. All right, so that is four no's and one yes to table. I vote no to table. Now, are there any moves to amend this?
This is Serene. I would actually move that the language of the executive director be struck, that the national election supervisor be put back in. That was the original statement. And that the timeline be changed so that we're talking about the national election supervisor comes on. Is it March, Rob?
He's usually hired in January.
Okay. So then this is something that they might engage in March after the drive when we have, you know, the database that more closely resembles the people who are actually going to be voting in the election, in the upcoming election, so that the... He can start the RFP in he or she in February 2006, and the recommendations and so forth. Well, you know, that can be prepared whenever the committee can. I don't think I don't think we necessarily need to be locked into a November 1st date, especially considering the lack of progress on this committee. I don't know that that's a realistic date, because we're talking about, what, about 2 months? And that the audit should actually be conducted before, I would say, before May 15th of, or June 1st, 2006.
All right, do you want to go through the changes you would like to see and read the motion as you would like it to read, please?
October 1st goes to February 1st. That's fine. November 1st, I don't know if you think this committee can actually get it together to do something productive by that time. That's fine. But the January 15th date should go to June 1st, and it would therefore read... Resolved that the PND shall request by February 1st, 2006, the National Election Supervisor put out an RFP for audit of the membership database at each station, and that the ED shall consult summary guidelines and recommendations of the Election Committee, which shall be provided by November 1st, and that a secure independent audit of station databases shall be conducted before, shall be conducted beginning June 2006. If you want to put an end date, I'd say June 30th is a more reasonable end date. And that's a full month before nominations begin. before June 30th, 2006.
Do we have any discussion on those changes?
I could ask a question. This is Wendy.
Please.
There was a probably, I'm assuming that the writer of the original motion had something in mind when they picked those exact dates. Could you explain what that is?
Yes. The timetable, generally the supervisors hired in January, but given that we have an interim ED, I asked the executive director put out the RFP rather than wait until a supervisor is hired, which may not happen in January of this year. And I put out October because we certainly won't have a national supervisor by October. And RFPs take a long time, as Rob has pointed out, to negotiate, refine, agree on what's going to be in it and how much it's going to cost. And that's really usually a negotiating process. And that takes probably as long as the audit would take.
Point of information.
Let me finish explaining my
sure.
rationale.
Sure. I'm sorry.
November 1st, maybe right about that. It may be a bit of a rush, but I think that we need to, there's a great deal of information in those reports that could be put together to guide anyone putting together an RFP, and I think they would need it as soon as possible. And I thought January 15th, if in fact the RFP were accepted by November 15th, 2 months should be enough time to do a database. I expect that this time around there will be quite a few problems. And so leaving it until June would put it much too close to the elections for us to solve the problems. A lot of the problems will require, I think, some changes in the way the data is kept, recorded, and summarized and passed on. So that was my rationale for those dates.
Point of information.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have information that leads you to believe we won't have an ED by the end of the year?
A permanent ED?
Yeah.
No, just since we have one now, who's interim, I have no idea what.
Well, we'll always have an interim.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. I thought I heard you say that since there's no way of knowing if we'll have one in January.
I don't even
argument?
Know what the timetable is for an ED, to be honest. I know we have an interim now, and I know these things usually take time. I haven't heard of any movement. But no, I have no information one way or the other.
This is Wendy. I could just clarify. We plan on interviewing finalists for the permanent ED position at the September meeting. And whether we can actually come out of there with a final decision like we hope, I can't say for sure, but it'll be within... We will have a permanent ED.
Hmm.
By January.
By January.
Well, I mean, ultimately we will, I'm sure, but by January, you think?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Yes, I guess I should have put interim ED, put out an RFP by October 1st. You wanted to substitute Serene National Election Supervisor for Executive Director.
Yeah, I think the National Election Supervisor should be the person engaging in this practice. I think it requires a specialized knowledge that I don't necessarily expect an ED will have. I think that, you know, if it's related to the elections and to who can vote and so on and so forth, that's why we want election personnel doing it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, there's some rationale for that. Simply because last time the supervisor did not find it feasible to do a complete audit. They did spot checks for various reasons. I wanted to put the responsibility on the executive director here, even though it's supervisor's nominal responsibility. Putting out the RFP, it would be up to the ED for some reason we had not hired a supervisor by then, and we certainly will not have hired one by October 1st, or perhaps even by January 1st. And so I put the executive director in. I don't think it's a good idea to make it put it onto the supervisor because there may not be a supervisor October, November, or December.